Once again, it is great to see everyone here tonight, and we are thankful for the presence of all who've come to be a part of this evening worship assembly, especially if you are one of our guests here tonight. We are really glad that you have come. We hope that you are glad that you have come to be a part of this and to just bring honor and glory to our God. That's what we're trying to do in this place. It's just to go back to the Bible, to be that church that you read about in the New Testament in every way that we possibly can, to worship in the way that that church worshiped in the New Testament. And if you have any questions about things that are happening here tonight, anything that's said, please don't hesitate. If you're one of our guests here tonight, to ask any of those members who are around you and allow us an opportunity just to open the Bible and to talk with you a little bit about the things that that are there and see if we can explain God's will for us today. We're just glad that you're here tonight. And we would like to ask at least one member from each family, if you could do us a favor. There's a card in the back of the pew in front of you. It's a two-sided card. And if you're a guest here tonight, if you could fill out the front side of that card while our members fill out the back side of the card. And once you have those completed, pass them to one of the three center aisles. Some of our young men will be picking those up from you in just a few moments. But glad to see everybody here tonight. This portion of our service is abbreviated because we have that short Bible class at the beginning at 6 o'clock. Then we have a short lesson during this time. But I want you to think about some things that that I think are of importance, especially from the passage that was read for us tonight. We understand from those who are gifted in this particular area that the skin that covers your body has three different layers. Did you know that? You've got three layers on your skin. The reason for that is so that you can regulate the temperature of your body. It can protect you from the environment that is around you. It has the nerve sensations in there so that you have feeling. You've got three layers protecting your body. Aren't you glad? Some of you are struggling with some of those layers, but aren't you glad you've got three layers? Do you know that you also have three layers for each of your teeth? And I know some of you might be struggling with some of these layers. Now, Kayla, I know this is simplified. I know there's more than this, but when you boil it down, there's three layers for your teeth. Same purpose there. Those layers are providing protection. Aren't you glad that you've got that enamel, that hard part of the tooth on the outside, providing protection, giving strength to your teeth? We've also learned from those who have studied it that our earth has three layers. And some would say, well, it's got four layers. The core's got an inner and an outer layer. But in some of the research, they say there's just three main layers. Isn't it interesting how God makes things? That you've got three layers of skin, you've got three layers of teeth, you've got three of your teeth, you've got three layers of the earth. And why do you have three layers? Well, from all of those layers are providing strength. Those layers are providing protection for those things that God has created. Which made me wonder as I've gone through that, then isn't that the case when you get something like this? Is that providing strength and protection and goodness of life? I mean, when I think three layers, isn't this what you... as soon as I think three layers, this is where my brain goes. So I thought if your brain was there, my brain would be there as well. Providing us strength and protection, right? Well, I want you to turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 16. You're thinking, where in the world does all of this come from? I want you to go to those verses that were read, the last three verses of the book of Romans. In this sign-off that Paul has at the end of the book of Romans, what I believe we find here are three layers of biblical strength that God is providing for us. Many people have called the book of Romans Paul's masterpiece. And as you read through it, it is a book that is full of things that help to build our faith. This is the book that says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when you come through this book, when you get to these last verses, he does not disappoint, even in the closing verses of this book. And what I want us to see is that when you begin in verse 25, it is talking about God and what God is able to do. When you think about the construction, the creation of your skin, of your teeth, of the layers of the earth, you think about what God is able to do. What does he say in verse 25? God is able to establish. The word there means strengthen. That's why we're talking about three layers of strength. The word there means to strengthen. It literally means In Romans chapter 16, verse 25, where it says, to him who is able to establish, it literally means to stabilize you, to help you to remain strong and firmly fixed where you are. Okay, so as a Christian, what are these three layers of strength that he's providing? Will you look through verses 25 and 26? And will you look for a phrase that is found three times in verses 25 and 26. In my Bible, I come across the phrase, according to, three times. And I don't think Paul uses that on accident. I don't think God is using that phrase three times on accident. I believe that what God is doing in this text is providing us three layers of strength for our service to God. Three layers of strength for our faith in God. And I just want to look at each of them very briefly. And there's obviously a lot of overlap, and you're going to see that as you go through this. You're going to think these are the same things, but they're not the same things. Your layers of skin, are they the same thing? Well, they're sort of the same thing, but they're not the same thing. The three layers of your tooth, is that the same thing? Well, they're the same thing, but they're not the same thing. These are the same thing, but they're not the same thing. What are we talking about? First layer. Layer number one is in verse 25. What is it that gives us power? What is it that gives us strength? What is it that establishes us? Number one layer is the gospel. Look at what he says. Now to him who is able to establish you according to, there's the first time we see the phrase, my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. That is what gives us strength. That's what helps us, first of all, to become a Christian. We don't become a Christian without the saving power of the gospel. That's where God's saving power is. But it doesn't stop. God's power and strength and His stabilizing force doesn't stop when we become a Christian. I find it interesting, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 is where Paul says it right at the beginning of this book. If you look in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 16, you look at the early verses of the book of Romans, you look at these last three verses of the book of Romans, there's a lot of overlap between them. You look at those early verses, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation so people can be saved. But the verse right before it, in verse 15, Paul says, I want to come to you, Christians, and preach the gospel to you. Well, wait a minute, Paul, they've already been saved. Exactly. They need the gospel in order to strengthen them, in order to help them to stay saved. You see, God's word is that layer, the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ is that layer of strength that we need. And I've got 1 Corinthians chapter 15 up here as well, because in that passage, it describes for us what the gospel is. Paul defines for us what the gospel is in those early verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And what he does in that text is also to say, in verse 2, you've been saved by the gospel, but you've only been saved by the gospel if you hold fast to the gospel. It'll save you, but it'll also keep saving you. So can I give you an action item tonight? I'm going to give you an action item with each of these things tonight. Can I give you an action item tonight? You want your faith to be stronger? You want to build these three layers of biblical strength in your life? Here's action item number one. Get yourself into the Gospels. Read about, not just about the life of Jesus, read the teachings of Jesus. Get inside the teachings about Jesus Christ and fill yourself up with your Savior Jesus Christ. That will help you to become a stronger Christian. If you're not spending time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're not going to be a strong Christian. And that's what Paul is saying here in these closing verses. According to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, that's how God establishes you. That's how God firmly fixes you in your service to Him. Layer number two. You see according to the second time here in verse 25? Layer number two. It's not just the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Layer number two, he says, is according to, you see it with me in verse 25, according to the revelation of the mystery, kept secret since the world began and now made manifest, and by the prophetic words of the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations. What's he talking about? You see, you go back to the Old Testament. And you read those Old Testament prophets, and those Old Testament prophets kept talking about a plan that God had that was coming. And again, you read about this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 2, that God had this plan being spoken of, this eternal plan of the gospel being spoken of. Even back in the Old Testament prophets, he was talking about it. And yet, as you read through those Old Testament prophets, there were some things that were still hidden. When you read the word revelation here in these verses, the word revelation here is talking about, and when you read the word mystery here, it's talking about there were some things that those prophets did not yet understand. The passage is on the screen in 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 10, tells us that the prophets, Peter says the prophets were looking into what they were prophesying, and they were trying to figure out, what is this about? What are we writing about? And they were trying to figure out, is this about us? Or is this about somebody else? And verse 12 says they finally came to realize, you know what? We're ministering, and what we're writing about, we're ministering to somebody else. This doesn't have anything to do with us. Can you imagine being a prophet and writing those things down? There were some things that they did not yet know or understand. But when you come to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, when you read what I'm writing to you, you will understand. When you read as God unfolds His plan in the New Testament, when you read as these Old Testament prophets are foretelling these days that are coming, and the New Testament prophets unfold, they reveal God's plan, we get a full picture of what God wants us to know about His eternal scheme. Once Adam and Eve sinned, how was God going to take care of that? He started telling us about it through the prophets. All the way through the Old Testament, we're told about this coming king and this coming kingdom. So much so that when we get to the New Testament, all of a sudden this message is going out to all of the world, that all nations can now be saved. And that's what you're reading about here in Romans chapter 16 and verse 26, that this was now made manifest. It was made known to all of the nations. It wasn't just for Jews. It wasn't just for a select few. God wanted all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He's revealed His plan. It started off with those prophets of the Old Testament and was now unfolded in the days of the New Testament. Can I give you an action item tonight? If you want to layer your faith, if you want to build the layers of your biblical strength, your action item for this is to get into your Old Testament. Get in and especially spend time in your Old Testament prophets. And if you want to narrow that down, spend some time in the Pentateuch. You want to read some prophecies about the coming Jesus? Read the Pentateuch. You want to read some verses that Jesus quoted? Read the Pentateuch. Read through the book of Psalms. Read through the prophets. And as you're reading through those books, find all of these things that are shadows of the good things to come. Find all of those prophecies that you think, oh, wait a minute, I know that from the New Testament. And you will see how the Old Testament was the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. You want to build your faith? You want to add a layer to your strength? Spend time in the Old Testament. You will be amazed how your faith is strengthened. We think, oh, we're not under the Old. No, we're not under the Old Testament anymore. That's not the law we're under. But Romans 15 and verse 4 says it's there for our learning. And oh, you can learn. If you're having trouble understanding the book of Revelation, you know why we have trouble understanding the book of Revelation? A lot of reasons. Biggest reason, in my opinion, we have trouble understanding the book of Revelation, we don't know the Old Testament. We come to the book of Revelation, we're reading all this figurative language, and we don't know the Old Testament. Like, where does this come from? Most of it comes from the Old Testament. Get in the Old Testament. Allow the Old Testament to add a layer of strength to your faith. Layer number 3. Go down to verse 26. Do you see according to? 3 times we see it here. He's given us these layers. Third layer, he says, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. As Christians, we're not under that Old Testament anymore. As Christians, that doesn't mean we're not under law. We're under the New Testament. That's the law under which we live today. The book of Hebrews, details that for us, telling us that we're no longer under that old covenant. We've got a new and a better covenant that is our law today. And having that New Testament as our law, that is what gives us, in verse 26, that is what gives us the commandment of the everlasting God. If you want to build your layer of faith, then we've got to love what God has to tell us. We've got to know what God has to tell us. We've got to get in and study to show ourselves approved unto God, to get into God's Word and allow it to see what are these commandments of the everlasting God. But I want you to look, do you see the word for here? According to the commandment. Sometimes we don't like the word commandment. It's all throughout the Bible. If you don't like the word commandment, you better get over that because it's all throughout the Bible. According to the commandment of the everlasting God. Do you see the word for in verse 26? The Greek word for for that's here is the same Greek word for for that's over in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And I mention that because there are individuals who come to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 where the Bible says, repent and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of your sins. There are some who want to tell you that that little word for means because of. That you need to repent to be baptized because you already have the remission of sins. That little Greek word eis, E-I-S. But that's not what that word means. It never means that in the New Testament. It doesn't mean it in Acts 2:38, and it doesn't mean it here. It's the same little Greek preposition here, little word eis. What if it meant because of, as people want you to believe? That we are established according to the commandment of the everlasting God because of our obedience. Really? That puts it all on us. That puts it all that we're the goodness that makes us stronger. We're not the goodness that makes us stronger. It's the commandment of God that makes us stronger. And how does it do that? For obedience to the faith. What does God's commandment want us to do? God's commandment wants us to, the ultimate purpose of His gospel, layer number one, of His revelation, layer number two, the ultimate purpose of His commandment, layer number three, is so that we will be obedient. So that we will be obedient to the faith. Do you see the word the in front of faith? There's only one faith, Ephesians 4 and verse 5. There's only one gospel. There's only one revelation from God. There's only one commandment that He would have us to follow. And I've got to fully trust it. I've got to fully obey it. And I've got to allow my faith in what God says lead me to fully obey what God says so that I can have an eternity in heaven with Him. Some of your religious friends may take you to the book of Romans to prove to you that salvation is by faith alone. They may take you to passages like chapter 3 and verse 28. They may take you to passages like chapter 5 and verse 1. The Bible says that we are justified, we are saved by faith. And they may try to convince you that those verses are teaching that you're just saved, you're justified by faith alone. In fact, in some translations over the years, some translations have even inserted the word alone into those two verses. Except that's not what those verses teach. The book of Romans does not teach that we are saved by faith alone. The book of Romans begins chapter 1 and verse 5. The book of Romans ends chapter 16 and verse 26. It bookends front and back that our salvation is by obedience to the faith. The book of Romans emphasizes faith. The book of Romans emphasizes obedience. Those two concepts are not two separate concepts in the eyes of God. Those two concepts have been married together by God. So much so that faith, He says, without obedience, faith without works is dead. The two go together. And if we strive to separate them from each other, we will not be saved in the eyes of God. Can I give you an action item for this? You probably have already figured out what it is. Can I give you an action item for this? You want to understand the commandments of God for what they are for us as New Testament Christians? Can I urge you to get into the book of Acts and get into the epistles? And you're thinking, wait a minute, I'm catching on now. Hang on a second. I'm catching what you're throwing down. Hang on. So layer number one, action item was what? Get into the Gospels. Build your faith in the gospel. Layer number two was what? Get into the Old Testament. Build your faith in those Old Testament prophecies and the revelation of them in the New Testament to build your faith and solidify and strengthen it. Layer number three is what? The commandments of God. Where as Christians do we find the commandments of God? Well, we find them in the New Testament. I'm not limiting it just to, and we find it all from Matthew through Revelation. But we find it from Acts through the book of Revelation. You think, hang on a second, you just included the whole Bible in that. You're catching on. You're catching on. God has three layers of biblical strength. And if you ever feel weak in your faith, look and see what layer am I weak in. And go and spend some time in that layer. Whether it be the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Whether it be the revelation of those revelation of what those Old Testament prophets were prophesying about and is revealed and unfolded for us in the New Testament. Or maybe it's in the commandments of what do I need to do in obedience to the will of God today. I think these three closing verses of the book of Romans are just an epitome. They just epitomize what the whole book of Romans is about. Building us up and what we need to be as Christians in order that we might become the righteousness of God in His eyes and spend an eternity with Him. One of the verses that was on the screen was from Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 verse 13 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." And it defines for us in the verse right before it, who are those who die in the Lord but those who keep His commandments. Can I ask you tonight, are you in the Lord? Are you in Christ tonight? Have you been obedient to the will of God? Have you done what He would have us to do in order to become one of His children? He makes it so plain in Scripture. He says, if I want to become a child of God, I need to believe that Jesus is God's Son. Having that faith in my heart, what else would I want to do but get away from sin? That's my belief in Jesus is that He died for my sins. I don't want those anymore. I want to turn away from those sins and turn my life in the direction of Christ. Say, I want to serve You instead of me. If you're ready to make that decision tonight, the Bible calls it repentance. You can confess the faith that is in your heart just as they did in the New Testament. And you can do what every person in the New Testament did to become a Christian, to be saved, to get into Christ. You can be baptized this very night. Have every one of your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus. There's water here. There's garments and towels here. Everything's ready for you to give your life to the Lord. Is there any reason you shouldn't do it tonight? I suspect there are individuals here tonight who've been thinking about it. Who've been thinking, you know what? I need to do it. Ananias said to Saul, "Why are you waiting?" And if you've been waiting, why are you waiting? Rise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. We can help you get your life right with the Lord tonight. Come right now as together we stand and sing.